I'm Rachel, the creative director for Ram Dass's Love Serve Remember Foundation, and I'd like to welcome you to our Inner Academy, a virtual Dharma hall where our family of wisdom teachers will help you navigate your daily life by bringing ancient wisdom into a modern context. With over 200 hours of audio and video teachings, meditations, and practices from teachers like Ram Dass, Krishna Dass, Sharon Salzberg, Jack Kornfield, Roshi Joan Halifax, Joseph Goldstein, and many more, the Inner Academy is your core resource for finding balance, presence, and navigating the ups and downs of your daily life. The Inner Academy has guidance for every step of your journey. Choose from an annual or monthly membership and gain access to past and future courses, retreat replays, virtual community, and much more. If you've been familiar with Love Serve Remember Foundation for a while, you'll know that most of our offerings are given freely or on a sliding scale basis. So when you subscribe to the Inner Academy, you're paying it forward and bolstering our ability to continue creating accessible offerings for all in the future, as Ram Dass wished for us to do. Be here now and start your journey with Ram Dass's Inner Academy today. For more, visit ramdass.org/innerAcademy.
Hello and welcome to the Shakti Hour podcast on Ram Dass's Be Here Now Network. I'm your host, Melanie Moser, and today we're continuing the Shakti Sacred Music series, conversations with musicians about sacred music and the feminine voice. My guest is Elizabeth Hart, bassist in the Psychic Ills and Tierra del Fuego, and currently performing as a dancer in Simone Forti's Dance Constructions at MoMA. Today we're listening in to Bolivian singer Luzmila Caprio, who is an advocate for peace and preservation of the indigenous voice. The astrologers tell me that we are just completing a 12-year Jupiter cycle, which coincides with when Elizabeth and I met about that many years ago in the Brooklyn music scene. She and I got together this past week to talk about sacred music, Mother Earth, and having compassion for others and self. Please remember to subscribe to the Shakti Hour on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. Please follow us on Twitter at Shakti Hour. You can also join in at patreon.com/ShaktiHour to get access to the unedited conversations in this series, along with other reflections and offerings. All of the music and more information on both the guests and artists can be found at ShaktiSacredMusic.com. And of course, you can find all of this information by going to the Shakti Hour page at BeHereNowNetwork.com, where you have access to so many wonderful podcast offerings. Thanks so much for listening, and please share this series with your friends. Let's listen in now to the piece that we selected by Luzmila called Amasuya, Amalula, Amakela, which translates to, do not steal, do not lie, do not be lazy, a folk song telling of the basic Incan laws. I'm so in love with this song. It's just so beautiful and melded with earth energy. It even begins with the sound of wind in the Andes Mountains.
She, as a child, when she would go around with her mom, she learned traditional, what is it, Aymara?
Yeah.
And Kachara? Andy's song.
Yeah.
Check the pronunciation. But she would imitate Quechua. And she would imitate like bird melodies, the sounds. So that was like the tone of her voice.
Yeah. She grew up in Bolivia.
Yes.
Wandering about, learning the traditions of her culture.
The Northern Andes people.
And then she started singing. Did we know when she started singing or why she started singing?
Well, I've read that she sang with her mom. She learned, you know, traditional indigenous songs, and then she originally sang in Spanish, and then she switched to speaking in the native indigenous language of Quechua.
Yeah. Because I read also she did it to preserve the culture, basically.
Yes. Yeah. And to show that the indigenous, you know, subordinate group of people also had a voice and things to express and say.
Yeah. There's no effort, it feels like, in her singing. She's not going like up there to those high registers out of any kind of effort.
Like,
it's just like she's just joining the birds in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it instantly puts me in like kind of a joyful state, right?
Yeah.
Especially
when you see her sing, like on video or whatever, with the clothes she's wearing and her smile and just her presence is very warm.
Yeah.
And joyful. Like it's like she's always smiling or, you know, radiating light.
Yeah. And she just seems to be like a part of the best parts of nature, like just expressing itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the reason I was introduced to her by my husband, and he's South American, and was explaining to me that in Bolivian culture it's very matriarchal, actually. Because a lot of the men are minors and they're away, and so the women are really the pillar of the household, and they're very, you know, strong mentally, physically, spiritually. Mm. They're really just the grounding factor.
Mm. Huh, interesting. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. It's not like when the miners come home, it shifts.
No, it's like they're, it's matriarchal.
It's part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, we have to investigate this more because now I'm just getting turned on to this.
Yeah, and also read that she had 25 albums, so that's a lot of investigating to do.
25 albums, and was the, like, ambassador to France too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she just, like, laid down a lot of work.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, super cool in this reflection of 50 years ago, kind of to this moment. That indigenous spirit was like being honored and recorded and shared. And yeah, I remember, you know, having like a sticker for my notebook that was like, you know, protect Gaia, protect Mother Earth. And it almost feels like that language of spirituality and connection with Earth is so not on the table.
I know. And like, you know, yeah, in the 90s, when we were talking about Earth Day, it was like, a huge thing. It was like, I guess, the beginning of people recognizing, hey, we're, you know, not taking care of our home.
Right.
And then now it's just gone completely out of control.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with people even, you know, denying that there's a problem.
Right. Which, like, you can't really deny, like, her voice is something you can't deny. Like, the purity of that expression and whatever, there's, like, the band that comes in halfway through that song with the, whatever that is, just, like, a drum and, like, and the, maybe that thingy we were looking at, the charango or whatever, the armadillo.
The armadillo instrument.
Doodad. See if I can see what it's called.
It's 12 string charango instrument.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Charango.
Charango.
Andean string charango instrument of the lute family. Yeah, I mean, there's just like, there's nothing confusing about it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that pure psychedelic thing where it's not, you know, where it's not the confused, drugged out part of it.
No,
it's just the blissed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, pure.
Yeah.
Speaking of pure, she wrote a lot of children's songs that were learned in schools.
Yeah. Huh. And so is it something that you think is like even applicable to like American culture? Like,
or like, you mean like Native American or like,
well, that's the question. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, can it even apply? Like, can we even learn from that? Like sitting here in New York City?
I guess. I mean, I think you can learn in just the basic thing of the earth and where we live.
Yeah.
In nature. And yeah.
Yeah.
The birds and the trees and stuff. That is relatable.
Yeah.
Certainly.
But sonically, you know, the Prime Minister of New Zealand now, that woman, Jacinda Ardern,
mm-hmm.
she kind of has a similar energy. She's just like going through the system. She's like, no, I'm pregnant. No, I'm having a baby. Now we're no longer doing this thing. No more plastic, no more oil. No, she's just like going through very clearly. There's no anger or something attached to it. There's no like, it's just like, oh, no. We're just going to do it this way. And I don't know if we can.
We need more of that everywhere.
We kind of do, yeah. But it's not like it's in opposition. There's nothing that she's in like opposition to in that singing of that song. Even though, and she's gently telling you, don't lie. What is it? The three things. Sorry.
Don't lie.
Don't lie.
Don't steal. And there was one more.
Oh, don't be lazy.
Don't be lazy.
That's pretty deep. You wouldn't think that the don't be lazy was at the end of that. You would think, you know, maybe it would be don't kill, or the guru of my guru and the guru of my teacher, Ram Dass. The tenets that the love everyone and tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And remember God and serve people, basically. Just kind of encapsulated
parallel
in those three.
Yeah,
parallel in some
parallel
way.
For sure.
Yeah. So what else about that music do you think is spiritual or sacred?
Well, in that particular piece, the wind.
Yeah, totally.
There's like something about, you know, obviously I haven't listened to all of her music, quite a lot to get through, but there's something, the sound of it sounds kind of like it's traveling, you know, it's like on a mission or kind of a journey. It's just something that it sounds that way, just sonically somehow. Mm. I can't really describe it, but it's just like...
Mm. And that's sacred or spiritual?
Well, I guess that in combination to the traveling and the time and then the message that she's giving in each song, like little reminders of like how to be or how one should be or for their own happiness, probably in their own kind of, it's kind of like, you know, she's gently giving these messages of love and without hammering it in.
Right.
And to me, that is sacred and spiritual, you know, always speaking about love and being kind and that.
Yeah. And that, those gentle reminders, like held in like an earth vibe, in a nature vibe.
Yeah.
Is just such a natural expression of that sacred energy. I'm sure that there's plenty of indigenous music that is specifically for ceremony or sacred or religious moments.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if you're embedded in the earth traditions, that everything is going to have a piece of that, no matter what.
And it's like, and it's also with the nature, you know, it's something that's around you always. You hear, you know, just sitting here, and I've seen like 10 birds fly by, even though we're just sitting here in the city, you know, or how going last week we were in California and Joshua Tree, and just how like each different environment in nature can just like, you know, take your breath away sometimes, or, you know, you notice things and feel things that are like up there, like out there and somewhere. It always, you know, when you pay attention to nature, where you live and the things surrounding you, it always kind of makes every little material thing or every other thing you worry about go away. You're like, wait, but this is life, and this is, you know.
Can you say more about that? That makes it go away. Like, what? Where does it go?
I mean, hopefully, it just leaves your mind for a moment. Like your worry, you just kind of, it just takes, it puts a perspective on like,
yeah,
what you should be focusing on, or really, is it that important to worry about this?
Yeah.
You know, the other thing, when, you know, this is right here showing you something else.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah. It's a reflection of another part of your being, as opposed to your mind's like agenda, to-do list, ambition, identity, plan. It like draws out that reflection for you. So, but also I think that I could be sitting here having a conversation with another person who would not notice birds. Do you know what I'm saying? Who would not be able to, one wouldn't notice them flying by, and also maybe wouldn't be able to take in both of those things, like having a conversation and noticing that at the same time. And I'm wondering what that is, really. Because I had this talk. Do you know Terry Tempest Williams? Have you ever read her?
No.
She's this amazing nature writer and activist. She's written a bunch of books. She's from Utah and loves the Southwest, you know. And we had a talk a year ago, a little over a year ago. And just we're trying to kind of talk about why do some people not have that experience? You know, like, why are some of these people, our brothers and sisters, trying to, you know, don't see that beauty, don't get that reflection, like, and then want to develop or mine or whatever this landscape?
I think it's some desensitized somehow, or
yeah,
just life and activity and things are moving so fast, and it's just like the cliche or whatever, you know, stop and smell the flowers or whatever, you know. It's like if you don't pay attention or stop, you know, it,
yeah, right. So it's another time, it's like another time thing.
Yeah,
like you get desensitized to it over time.
Mm-hmm. Because definitely, like, when you're born or as a child,
right,
Well, first of all, you're on the ground. You're not even.
Right. First and foremost. Right.
First and foremost.
Yeah.
You're on the ground connected in that way. And those are the things, or at least for me, you know, growing up, I was outside all the time. That was like what you did as a kid then.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do now, but.
Right. Yeah. And you grew up in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so, did you ever go to Big Bend?
Mm-hmm.
I've never been there.
We went on our 8th grade school trip to Big Bend.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
It seems fabulous.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'd like to return.
Yeah.
As an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you think that that landscape, like, informed you as an artist? Like, do you think that that, like, being on the ground, literally, there, as you were growing up, like, shaped how you wanted to express yourself as an adult?
I don't know. I never thought about that.
Yeah. But you know from traveling, like in touring, that it's different wherever you, like you can have an amazing show and an amazing experience, like in a completely random city in the U.S., though the energy is just like dying for what you're offering and pulls it out of you.
Absolutely.
Is there something about being in a different place that makes you create differently? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, it must be. Right? It must be.
Yeah.
We went to, Yvonne, my husband and I, after we got married, we went to Texas for 2 months. Hmm. And we were staying in the country. And we just had the opportunity to stay somewhere. So we sublet our place here for 2 months. And then just be in, like, kind of the middle of nowhere. I mean, 15 minutes, then you're in, like, a shopping center. But basically, you know, wildflowers all around, hills, lakes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we pretty much, we've been making a record, almost finished with it. But, yeah, that was the whole purpose, to be there to write that. It was to write the record, work on music. In nature, it was so nice to just have that focus, like just wake up, have your coffee, go on a long, like, wildflower walk. Mm-hmm. And they would change every day. I was like remembering them from my childhood, and we had to do a wildflower project, and I was like, oh, I think that's a buttercup and that's an Indian paintbrush, and and I was like, now I've got to know. And so I ordered a book on the Texas wildflowers, because they would change. Started with the bluebonnets.
Yeah.
And then after 2 weeks, they're gone and new ones come in. And through the whole spring, because this was April to June, changed. Yeah. It was like a rotation. And I had never noticed that before.
Right. Because this is to your point of that time, like having that time and the sensitivity. Mm-hmm. To have that reflection, you wouldn't have. When's the last time you had 2 months to be in a place to do that? Besides being a child,
yeah,
right. And even then, your time isn't yours, so you have to only do that when you're allowed. That's so cool. I'm so happy that you did that.
Yeah,
you know, and I feel like that's kind of an intuitive musician thing. Like, it's like the music itself wants to be imbued with that, even if you're and I think it might seem crazy to people, but because you're in what does it matter, you're in like a studio with four walls and no windows, and or you're in this place anyway, so what would it matter if you go to another landscape and go to another earth energy?
Well, that's the thing. Right. It is a different energy. And whether you recognize it or not, it is. And it's surrounding you.
Right.
And it's also, when you're not literally recording the record or whatever, it's what you wake up to. It's what you see before you go
right
to bed.
Yeah.
you know, seeing the stars or something, getting to see the stars
yeah.
is completely different than
it's overwhelming,
just
seeing
isn't a dark sky.
It's overwhelming at first. I remember a few years ago when I was like starting to leave the city, I had a place upstate, and like I remember like the first month of going up there, I was like overwhelmed by how many. I was like, are there, is that really how many stars there are? Like, that's a lot of stars, you know.
And there's even a lot more.
And there's even a lot more than the ones I could see in my little zone. And I was it totally freaked me out, because I used to be such an earth person, and hiking and in the West. It's much more integrated in the West.
Oh, yeah. I hiked every single day when I was in LA.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And so I wonder if, like, that listening to that kind of music, if that was like piped into like Starbucks, if that would like versus, you know, whatever, if that would be like
the soundtrack,
something that would wake up that part of people where they would, you know, beyond like, you know, people develop a spiritual practice in order to try and do that, right?
Yes.
You know, whatever that is. But a lot of people aren't going to seek out.
I think a lot of times people don't know what they're missing. They can't like put the finger on like what is making them stressed or you know, they don't know what's like, you know, what it is that could maybe help them or guide them, or you know. They don't realize that something like that is missing from their life.
Right. And so then they kind of double down on what they think, on like Doritos and...
Yeah. What they
and Fox News or something. Like,
yeah.
You know, just do
the
more of that.
The obvious information that's like pumped into the environment 24/7.
Yeah, that's really like a compassionate viewpoint, that people don't know that there's something missing, but they have some idea of what that is. Mm-hmm. And do you think that's why, like, people go to see art and music to find that for themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a reason I do.
Right. Is there some way that you find that without that?
Yeah, because I think you find it, just as we were talking, like going somewhere isolated in nature, I think you find that.
Yeah. And do you have, is there something that you use yourself to keep that awareness alive in you?
Yeah, I have my own practices, dancing, yoga, meditating. But really, really, I will say, because I think, you know, some of those things are, not with yoga or dancing, but meditation I do find to be very hard to do. I find personally I have a hard time turning off the brain, you know. But times when I've noticed that I can is just changing the environment. Like, for example, being in Joshua Tree 2 weeks ago, or just going somewhere where my surroundings are so big and so, like, overwhelmingly beautiful and, like, magical, like, you know, just another world. I find that those places, going to those places, are what can really take me somewhere else. Also music. You know, different kinds of music.
Yeah, listening to it, playing
just
it.
Just listening to it. Yeah, you can't just like go out in the desert somewhere or go to the ocean or something. Just like certain lots of different kinds of music, actually, I feel like can do that.
Right. Because that's that whole thing of it being contained, the place being contained in it. So you kind of get the transmission of the ocean or the mountain or the city or, you know, or whatever through that sound.
Yeah, it helps you like visualize it somehow. Involuntarily even, you know, just like listening to this Mila, it's, you know, you get a feeling.
Yeah.
The location or
yeah, you get
what
the
you
space.
Imagine it might be,
totally.
You know. Which
totally.
Is, which
yeah.
is actually something I've been working on, a series of dances in different environments. Mm. And where that literally that landscape is what is what sort of choreographs the movement.
Hmm. Can you tell me what that's like? Like, what is it like to work with a landscape?
Well,
as like a choreographer?
The first one that I've done three so far, but there's a whole series that I would like to do. The first one I did in Austin, because we were staying at my brother's house out there in the country, and there was a kind of a river creek thing. It was from where a dam was, and so it was really rocky terrain. There was a river running through and then a rock wall to the right of it. Hmm. So it was just this beautiful thing, but the terrain was very, there were a lot of like craters in it. Hmm. So you couldn't tell, but I kind of had to work around these holes in the ground to not twist my ankle or whatever. But the landscape was very vertical. So I wanted the dance to be from this film. So I wanted it to be, have a real, you know, horizontal, like it goes out and comes back. So sorry, it's linear.
Right.
But it's on one line down and one line back. But in order to kind of like really see that, it had to be really fast or else it looked too like languid and slow, like to really kind of see there had to be a lot of fast movement. Mm. So it was a challenge in terms of moving really fast and then also, you know, traversing the landscape without
breaking your ankle because of the craters. See, and that's like, that's the Pachamama, like right there, because it's like you're in collaboration. The earth is choreographing your movement as opposed to steamroll, deforest, cover in, cement so that my movement can be easier for me.
Yeah. And it's site specific because the dance that I did is not something that you could then do in a studio or something.
Right. Yeah. That's so cool. See, so when you share that with me, like that, just telling me that story of your engagement with that place and that earth and, you know, trying to share your creative vision with that place and then with the rest of us, that feels like a spiritual practice to me. I mean, there's no space in that for you to get hung up on yourself.
Yeah.
Like, especially with the fact that like, not yourself, meaning like that there's anything wrong with, you mean the self, like your mind, you know, because you're, have to be in your body, you have to be in the moment, and you have to be in communion with the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're not going to be able to do it, right? So that's part of, you know, another reason why I wanted to do this series was to bring in conversations with, you know, my people that I've known and worked with and, you know, like I went down this really long George Harrison detour in spirituality, like over the last, whatever, 7 years. And so I'm just like, you know, knowing musicians, knowing creative people, it's almost a given that they're in communion with something greater. Like if you're in music, you have to communicate without words, you communicate through space and time, right? You communicate in a different language that is transmitted through you, right? and dance as well. But then on top of that, I also know that all of these people are engaging different actual practices and engaging in intelligence, like a spiritual intelligence, and wanting to evolve that part of themselves as well. And so this may be like way too ambitious, but so like beyond the creative process, like, you know,
Luz Mila,
she, you know, she just did that all at once, right? Like even that recording with the track of wind at the beginning wasn't, I'm sure, it was intentional. It's like, this is what's leading this piece, right? Yeah. And then it comes off as this effortless, crazy, insane bird song thing. This is like done in like 2 minutes. But there's so much embedded in that. But behind that is her own investment and engagement with the truth.
Right? Yeah, and wanting to spread that.
And wanting to spread that,
to other people.
Yeah. So would you say that there's an intention behind that? Would you say that there's an intention behind these pieces that you're creating?
For me, it's more like just a challenge for myself, kind of like with different natural environments.
Yeah.
Like the second one I did was in California, in Carmel, like on the coast. It was on all these rocks. And again, presenting different challenges because of the landscape and climbing and different kind of things. But then that one was when it kind of, the ideas kind of evolved more, because we had, and Yvonne, my husband, was helping me, because he's like, you've got to be telling more of a story though, because I would be like creating something. He's like, but I need to know like exactly what are you trying to express here? Well, the day before we had gone to the Monterey Aquarium, and I'm just fascinated by the jellyfish. I've been to that aquarium many times, and that's my favorite part of it.
Yeah.
The way they move is just incredible.
Bananas, yeah.
And their colors and everything. And so we were discussing, and then, you know, then my motivation was really to like dance like the jellyfish that I saw, and kind of have like, that one was, you know, the birth, life, and death of a jellyfish, heavy metal jellyfish, actually. And so then it was like creating that movement was really trying to move like a jellyfish, which is a completely different body in water. I'm not in water, so it was like to try to, you know, those kind of challenges. I mean, it's more just personal things that I'm trying to like.
Yeah, but it's not really. I mean, it is, but, you know, I'm sure Luz Mila could say the same thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, who else is, talk about wanting to step into the the shoes of another and try and understand. Like, there's so much communicated in that action of wanting to embody another being's experience and share that with others, you know? Yeah. For yourself. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I can't imagine that, that it would be for anyone else. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, ultimately, you know, the singing came out of her, right? But then the intention should, you know, could grow and expand to help others and create children's songs and, you know, over the course of 25 albums. But initially it's the personal, you know, impetus to express and like commune with something other than yourself.
Yeah.
Which I think is different than like, than meditation per se. Right.
Yeah.
Because there's a different kind of engagement. Do you have an idea of what's different about that since you're not really big on the meditation, but you crave it on a certain level.
I want
level.
To be.
Right? Yeah. It's like why do you want to be?
Something that I find so hard because I just feel like it will help me.
Yeah. And help you how?
I get too much in my head.
Yeah.
And I worry about unnecessary things and I have a hard time quieting my mind sometimes.
I see.
I'll get on a loop on something and,
right.
You know, I feel like it's a tool that could possibly help me.
So we've played improvised music together.
Yeah.
So we've
pet hair.
Pet hair. We'll have a link to that, people. But that, you know, so that's a different plane of communication where all that stuff is really set aside. You know, it's not, I'm not thinking I'm playing beyond setting up a rehearsal.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking I'm playing music with Elizabeth.
No, then you just go.
Then you're just going.
Then you just go.
I just think that it's cool that you were willing to have this chat with me and just like begin to explore these ideas. And for someone that's such a multi-talented, like working artist, I think it's useful for people to hear your point of view and to know kind of that or where you're sourcing that reflection from, you know? I think that that's helpful to know that that consideration is going into what you're making and how you're living.
Thank you.
Yeah. So is there anything coming up? Is there anything you want to tell us about that's happening?
I'm going to Europe on Tuesday.
Oh yeah. With the Ills.
With Ills on a little tour. I'm currently performing at MoMA.
Oh, you are?
There's an exhibition there right now in the Judson Dance Theater. And Simone Forti is a choreographer.
Oh, cool.
That time, and they are showing, she has this work called Dance Constructions. There's 9. And so I'm in a cast of 20 people that are performing 5 of the dance constructions throughout this exhibition.
And when does that run from?
It opened September 15th, and it's until February.
Cool. I got to come and check it out.
Yeah, whenever you want to go.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. This was so nice. Take out Sangi Kuya Kimu. Just because.